Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa anu. Maulana, we pray that you and the listeners are all well this Sunday morning. We had very good rains also overnight. And alhamdulillah, this is only through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To continue with our program, Bilad al-Muslimin, the land of the Muslims. Last week we dealt with the Balfour Declaration that was produced by Lord Balfour of Great Britain on the 17th of November 1917. Today we continue with our history of Pakistan. Alhamdulillah, going through my research, Maulana, shows that on the 9th of November is the anniversary of the great poet of Pakistan, Sir Muhammad Iqbal. He was born on the 9th of November 1877 and passed away just before 10 years before the declaration of Pakistan as a state on the 21st of April 1938. He was a South Asian Islamic philosopher, poet, and politician. His poetry is considered to be amongst the greatest of the 20th century, and his vision of a cultural and political ideal for the Muslims of British-ruled India is widely regarded as having animated the impulse for the Pakistan movement. He is commonly referred to by the honorific title of Allama, and widely considered one of the most important and influential Muslim thinkers and Western religious philosophers of the 20th century. See, Maulana, I think if you read the works of Allama Iqbal, get his vision regarding the Muslims and his book on the interpretation of Islam and its the revivalist movement of Islam. It's fantastic. And we recommend that book to our listeners also. Continuing with our history, Maulana, we dealt with the Ghaznavid Empire of Muhammad of Ghazni. And then around 1140, this empire started deteriorating and went down. Then between Ghazni and Herat, there is a hilly tract that is today designated as Hazarajat in Afghanistan. Then in the 12th century, it was known as Ghor. The people of Ghor were under the suzerainty of the Ghaznavids and sought to overthrow the shackles of bondage that were being imposed upon them. Izzuddin Hussein was the leader. The Ghaznavid dynasty had followed into the hands of the Bahram Shah. To reassert his rule in Ghor, Bahram Shah attacked the region, which was under the leadership of Qutbuddin, the son of Izzuddin. In a counterattack, Saifuddin attacked Ghazni after Qutbuddin was killed in the first attack of Bahram Shah. Ghazni was captured, and Bahram Shah escaped only to attack the capital again. And in this attack, Saifuddin was killed. The revenge thirst was carried forth by Alauddin. He was known by the word of Jahan Shows, that means the world burner. In 1175, Alauddin appointed his brother Shahabuddin as governor of Ghazni. Between the two brothers, Alauddin and Shahabuddin, campaigns were undertaken in northern India. The Punjab plains, Multan and Osh were wrested from the Ghaznavids, and by 1179, Peshawar and Sialkot had come under Ghori rule. Shahabuddin Muhammad Ghori was the most successful monarch in planting the Islamic crescent in India. During his reign, he was instrumental in firmly establishing the Muslim Sultanate in Delhi in 1194. The Delhi Sultanate from 1206 to 1526. During the era of the Delhi Sultanate, great luminaries of Islam in the 13th century came to leave their footprints in the subcontinent of India. Their contribution to the establishment and spread of Islam in the Indian subcontinent entrenched in the hearts of the Muslims the spirit of Islam and made the religion a part of the region. Kings, rulers, politicians, and Sufi saints worked in harmony and in discord to lay the foundations of Islam. The early half of the 13th century also saw the demise of these great servants of Islam and the establishment of the Sultanate by Qutbuddin Aibek in 1206. Shahabuddin Muhammad Ghori passed away in the third decade. The founder of the Chishtiya order in India, Khwaja Mohiuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, passed away in 1230, and his disciple Khwaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayhi, who passed away in 1236. During the next two centuries, other great awliya, that is the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also left this world. The continent was bereft of the saintly souls, and bit by bit, the decline of the Chishtiya order set in. Among these were Khwaja Fariduddin Ganjbakhsh Rahmatullah Alayh, who passed away in 1265, Sheikh Najibuddin Firdosi, who passed away in 1292, Khwaja Nizamuddin Awliya, who passed away in 1325, and Sultan Muhammad Tughluq, who passed away in 1351. The slave dynasty in Islamic history is known as the Mamluk dynasty. The Mamluks were Turkish military and administrative employees of the sultans. Through their acumen and skills, they acquired the scent for power and as generals in the army of the Sultan of Khedive, rose to establish their rule in Egypt in the west and in India in the east. The Mamluks were responsible for the destruction of the power of the Mongols, who in turn were the cause of the demise of the Abbasid power with the sacking of Baghdad in 1258. In India, the dynasty was established by Qutbuddin Aibek, who was a general in the army of Shahabuddin Muhammad Ghori. On the death of the Ghurid Sultan in 1206, Aibek took control of Indian dominions. His rule lasted for 4 years to 1210. He was succeeded after some poor rulers by his son-in-law, Shamsuddin Iltutmish. His rule was marked by great expansion of the Delhi Sultanate and his relationship with the disciples of Khwaja Mohiuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi. Khwaja Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayhi was more than just cordial. He visited the Khwaja on a regular basis, notwithstanding the call of duty of running and maintaining the Sultanate. Tutmish is said to have paid homage to the saint twice a week. Sultan Tutmish was succeeded by his daughter Razia Sultana. She was ahead of her time, and during her rule, many developments in the infrastructure of the city were undertaken. Her reign of 4 years was turbulent in that her elder brother Rukuddin also coveted the Sultanate, but the Amirs and generals favored his sister. In 1246, the son of Iltutmish, Nasiruddin Mahmud, ascended the throne. He had molded his life in accordance with the life of the Umayyad Khalif, Umar bin Aziz Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Alayh. He was a simple and saintly person. The trappings of Sultanate power and position were mundane matters to him. As a result of his disinterest of state affairs, Nasiruddin was and maintained as a figurehead sultan. The locus of power was vested in his father-in-law, Qiyasuddin Balban. Balban had to contend with Mughal incursions into the Punjab and Multan. On the home front, the nobles who wielded great influence conspired to have him deposed. He succeeded with the investiture of Imaduddin Rehan as the prime minister. The intrigue in the court ensured that Rehan was always dependent on the support of the nobles, which was not a certainty. When Han was deposed by the nobles and Balban was reinstated as the prime minister. During his second tenure as prime minister, Balban had to contend with his brother for the secession of Multan and joining forces with the Mongol Holaku, the Ilkhan ruler of Persia. Multan was utilized as a base of Mongol attacks against India. The encounter of the Muslim army under Balban and the Mongolian forces under Selim on the outskirts of Delhi resulted in the defeat of the Mongols. The Mongols thereafter decided to live in peace with the Muslims. Nasiruddin Mahmud's 20-year rule ended in 1266, unaffected by the trappings of luxury. Balban ascended to the throne as monarch of the Sultanate, no more as prime minister. He knew the task of ruling. He concentrated on consolidating his power at home and implemented certain stringent measures in the state. Among these were the nobles and emirs who had large fiefdoms and were law unto themselves were reined in. Stringent conditions on their holdings were placed for them to retain the holdings. They could not levy additional taxes on the tenants and were to treat them justly. Those tenants who were unjustly treated had their properties restored to them. Those nobles who showed dissent to the new conditions had their land confiscated and reduced to ordinary citizens. The nobles soon realized that they had to abide by the new rules or perish. Secondly, the justice system was reformed in accordance with the implementation of the Sharia, and no one was above the Sharia. Thirdly, the military was reorganized to be effective and ready, and the police service was strengthened by the introduction of a secret service to keep the Sultan informed of the state of his dominions. The Hindus, the Mughals of Mewat, and those of the region of Doab, the area between the Jumna and the Ganges rivers, he cleared and destroyed their hiding places in the jungles from where they operated and took many captives, slaves, while some reverted to Islam. The Khokars of the Salt region were also relentlessly pursued to lay down their arms and revolt. Many sought refuge in the hills of Kashmir and continued their guerrilla activities against the state. Balban personally led a force against the governor of Bengal, Tughril, and defeated him and meted out severe punishment to all those who had supported Tughril. With the Mongols of Iraqu, he entered into a peace agreement. But the Shaktai Mongols, who hailed from the Transoxania, the raids into Punjab continued. These Mongols were helped by the Khokars of the Salt Range, who could not be completely subdued. Balban established forts along the region where the Mongols invaded. Watchtowers and patrols were also implemented in the region. To strengthen the frontiers, he appointed his eldest son, Muhammad, as governor of Multan. The Mongol raid of 1286 was defeated by Muhammad, but tragedy was to follow. In pursuing the Mongols after their defeat, Muhammad was ambushed and killed. For the aging father, this was a disaster. Balban died soon after in the same year. For 40 years, 20 years as prime minister and 20 years as sultan, Balban had consolidated the sultanate without any further expansion. He is regarded as one of the renowned rulers of India. The four-decade span of his rule is a tribute to his tenacity, skill, and just and pious disposition. What followed him was to herald the demise of the Mamluk rule in India. The succession issue was complicated by the death of Muhammad. His brother Bughra Khan was not interested in the Delhi Sultanate, as he was comfortable with his governorship of Bengal. The Turkish nobles, in order to secure their positions, instituted Kaikobad, the 70-year-old son of Bughra Khan and Sultan, at the expense of the son of Muhammad, Kaikuso, and Kaikobad was indifferent to the responsibilities of the state, and the executive function was in the care of the Prime Minister Nizamuddin, who had not endeared himself to the court and the people. Bughra Khan had counseled his sons to displace Nizamuddin, and according to tradition, he was poisoned. When Kaikobad succumbed to paralysis, the nobles invited Jalaluddin Khilji, the governor of the Punjab, to rescue the state from chaos and anarchy. Khilji marched to Delhi in 1219, and his act of declaring himself Sultan brought to an end the Mamluk rule of the Ayyubid after 84 years rule from 1206 to 1219. Well, then I was just going to talk a little bit about Muhammad, of course, what contribution he made for the establishment of Islam in India. His full name was Mu'izzuddin al-Muhammad ibn Nizam. He was also known as Muhammad of Ghor or Muhammad Ghori. He was a ruler from the Ghori dynasty based in the Ghor region of what is today central Afghanistan, who ruled from 1173 to 1206. Muhammad and his elder brother, Ghiyazuddin Muhammad, ruled in a dynasty until the latter's death in 1203. Ghiyazuddin, a senior partner, governed the western Gurid regions from his capital at Firozpur, whereas Muhammad extended Gurid rule eastwards, laying the foundation of Islamic rule in South Asia, which lasted after him for nearly half a millennium under the evolving Muslim dynasties. During his early career as governor of the southern tract of the Ghurid Empire, Muhammad subjugated the Turks after a series of forays, and the next Ghazni, where he was installed by Ghiyazuddin Muhammad as an independent sovereign. Expanding the Ghurid Empire dominion east of the Indus Delta from his base in Ghazni, Muhammad crossed the river Indus in 1175, approaching it through the Gomal Pass, and captured Multan and Osh from the Karmatians within a year. Afterwards, Muhammad took his army by the way of Lower Sind, endeavoring to penetrate into present-day Gujarat through the Thar Desert, only to end up getting wounded and rooted near Mount Abu at Kasrada by a coalition of Rajput chiefs led by the Chalukya king Maharaja, which forced him to change his route to for future inroads into the Indian plains. Hence, Muhammad pressed upon the Ghaznavids and uprooted them by 1186, conquering the upper Indus plain along the most of the Punjab. After expelling Ghaznavids from the last bastion, Muhammad thus secured the Khyber Pass, the traditional route of entry for invading armies into northern India, extending the Ghurid dominion further eastwards into the Gangetic plain. The Ghurid forces suffered a decisive revolt, and Muhammad himself got wounded in engagement with the Rajput Confederacy led by Chahamania ruler Prithviraj Chauhan at Terrain in 1191. Muhammad returned to Khorasan and returned a year later with a vast army of mounted archers to secure a decisive victory in the return engagement on the same battleground of Terrain, and executed Prithviraj shortly afterwards. He limited his presence in India afterwards, deputing the political and military operations in the region to a handful of elite slave commanders who served, raided in local Indian kingdoms and extended the Gurdjieff influence as far east as the Ganges Delta in Bengal and the regions of North Bihar. After the death of Ghiyasuddin Muhammad in 1203, Muhammad of Ghor ascended the throne of Firozpur as well, becoming the supreme sultan of the Gurid Empire. Within a year or so, Muhammad suffered a devastating defeat at Uhud against the Turkish rivals, the Khwarazmians, aided by timely reinforcements from the Karak Sajjads, which resulted in the Gurid power ebbing out in most of Khorasan. Muhammad quelled the widespread insurrection throughout his empire after the debacle and ordered the construction of a bridge over the Oxus River to launch full-scale invasion of Transoxania in order to avenge his defeat at Uhud, although a rebellion by the Hindu Gurkhas forced him to move towards the Salt Range, where he brutally crushed the Gurkha revolt during his last campaign. On his way back, Muhammad of Ghor was assassinated on the bank of the Hindus at Damyak on 15 March 1206 by the Ismaili adversaries while offering evening prayers. Muhammad's assassination led to the rapid decline of the Ghuris, and enabled Shah Muhammad II to annex the remaining territories west of the Indus River. However, its conquest east of the Indus in the Indian subcontinent evolved into the formidable Delhi Sultanate under its slave commander, Qutbuddin Ayyub. Now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, next week we will do the Delhi Sultanate in detail. Pray that you and the listeners of Marqaz Sahab are the voice of Ali Sunnah wal Jamaah. Have a wonderful weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.